to give to TJ. He hit the line of scrimmage. He broke free. Inside the 20-yard line. Inside the 10-yard line. TJ Yeldon reaching for the goal line. Touchdown, Jacksonville. TJ Yeldon, second and third effort for the score. Play clock is at 5 now for Manuel. Dropping. The Jags blitz. And they hit him as he lets it go. The ball is out. That ball is out. It is picked up. Or now Chris Clemons picks it up. Chris Clemons into the end zone. That's a touchdown for Jacksonville. Scoop and score by Clem. And the Jags are in the end zone again. Manuel, 4 of 10 so far on the day for 50 yards. He and the Bills will start from their own 20-yard line. 14-3 Jacksonville. 12-21 to play in the half. TJ looks. Fires it to the right side. That's picked off. Tillman Smith has picked it off. Tillman running it back. That's a touchdown for the Jaguars on back-to-back defensive play. Second down and 5, 2:30 to play. Under center is Bortles. Play fake. Blake running to the left now. Stays behind the line. Fires toward the end zone. Once Alan Hurns diving attempt. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Hurns a diving touchdown catch.
Awesome, awesome environment. And to our fans back in Jacksonville, too. I mean, I know they were watching and listening, so we appreciate them. And this was an unbelievable environment to see it at the end. I don't know if I caught all of it, but I could hear them. Just a great environment.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, glad you're along, folks. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Jaguars Today here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey and Fat Tony here with you on this Friday. We'll be joined by Tony Pauline today from DraftInsider.net. That's coming up at the top of the next hour. Then Dave Caldwell, Jaguars general manager, at 11:40. That's the scheduled time. We're expecting to catch up with Dave for about 10 minutes today, right before he goes and addresses the rest of the media and tells them the same things he's already told us. We're going to scoop them all, Tony, is what we're going to do here on Jaguars Today. Now, first, let's go to the music desk, all right, to start the program today.
Okay.
Fortunato in the house this morning.
Should there be a theme song for the music desk?
We should. You come up with the what would you like? Would something by Prince perhaps would be appropriate?
It would
today.
Be very fitting,
right? Joe, I've gotten this tweet in from Mike Borquin, who's a big fan of the program and the station and the whole nine yards. At Kayakfish on Twitter says Clapton did not say that about Prince. He says that quote has made the rounds numerous times involving various guitarists. He's saying it's an urban legend. What say you, sir?
I can't confirm nor deny that, if that's what he's saying. But I've always seen it as contributed to Clapton, no one else. He's
right.
Saying it's other artists.
I haven't seen it. I don't know if I'd ever heard it prior to yesterday when Kellerman said it. And then I was about to tell Tony, I walked in the room about to tell Tony that we were talking about Prince. And you say, hey, that's just what I told him a second ago. So
I remember
you had heard it before.
And I remember hearing it a long time ago. And I just kind of forgot about it. And then, of course, with Prince passing, it came up again. But it's only been with Eric Clapton.
That
I don't know. I could see him.
I
could see him saying
knows?
Something like that.
Right. Who knows? All these guys, they try to be gracious. Anyway, hopefully most of them do. It's the most important question now, Joe, that we have you here. Who are the Jags taking at number 5 next week, please?
Well, according to the board.
No, you cannot rely on Jaguars Thursday's mock draft.
Well, who's left that's totally clean and can...
There's no one. There's no one. We're going to have to take some awful prospect that is broken down, injury-riddled, character concerns, the whole nine yards.
I'll take the gig.
If Goff is there, do we grab him, Joe? I think probably not. So work on that. Get back to us on Monday. Joe Fortunato, ladies and gentlemen, with some dynamite contribution to the program right off the bat. Tony, Kiper and McShay did the head-to-head mock draft. What am I missing that everyone thinks that defensive tackle is such a big need for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I do not know.
I don't get it, man.
I don't either.
I mean, not that high in the draft. It is supposed to be an excellent crop of defensive tackles this year, right? It's one of the strongest, if not the strongest position group in the draft, so say some of the pundits, right? Well, the Jags in this mock draft, McShay had him taking Miles Jack with the first round pick, as we mentioned a moment ago, comes to pick 38. And Todd McShay picks Vernon Butler, defensive tackle out of Louisiana Tech. He says the Jags got faster at the second level with Miles Jack in round one. Now it's time to get tougher up front on defense. Butler has flashes of Muhammad Wilkerson in this game. Of the Jets, of course, he's the unsigned franchise tag designee. Where's he going to play, Tony? That's Malik Jackson's spot. As you heard clearly when he joined us earlier this week, He's the three technique. That's his spot. You've got Cedric Marks directly backing him up as part of a three-tackle rotation with Roy Miller. What the hell are you going to draft a defensive tackle at 38 for? I just don't understand it. And I mean, I can look, if you I get it. If you're saying he has flashes of Muhammad Wilkerson, that means he's got some pass rush ability. I looked at his scouting report. He's graded exceptionally well against the run. I don't know. I just don't see that being a direction that the Jags go with that kind of early draft capital. By the way, third round pick, it was a 3-round mock draft. Christian Westerman, a guard out of Arizona State. Interior line, we think they'll address at some point with at least one pick. And Kuiper says he made the pick there. He said, one of my favorite players in the draft available this far down the board, Steel. So if they draft Christian Westerman, they'll like that.
Because he did his own three-round mock. Did he have Westerman go into the Jags in that one, too?
I believe so.
I know Pro Football Focus, when we were looking at their, you know, the Jaguars draft board earlier this week, he was the third one of the three names
he was
in
on
the third-round consideration. Yeah.
I don't think he did. I'll look up Mel's mock. I found it interesting yesterday. McShay has been critical of Paxton Lynch, but I don't think unnecessarily so. He's a developmental guy. He's going to have a big step up in competition. He's got issues. He's got flaws in the game that he sees. I don't think he's trying to trash him. He said that he's a similar prospect to Brock Osweiler, but maybe not as developed at this point as Osweiler was coming into the league. But Lee Steinberg, who I guess is representing Paxton Lynch, took McShay to task on that, said, you've never played the game, you've never coached a game, blah, 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 which are things that I don't believe Lee Steinberg has done either.
Right.
But I found it interesting then, Mike Florio, in commenting on this situation, said he asked a guy who's connected throughout the league, does anyone in the league listen to Todd McShay? And the answer was basically, hell no. And they respect Kuiper a little bit more, but it's, you know, it's all relative. It's not to a big degree, but if you had to choose between them, NFL people would side Kuiper over McShay. So says unnamed source. So,
okay.
Who knows, you know?
Well, I think it's that way with a lot of these, the mock draft season, right? Like, when you are privy to the amount of information that people inside these teams and league offices are privy to compared to the little trickle that they probably actually let get out into what everyone else knows. And, you know, maybe that information goes first, that little trickle of information goes first to the guys who do have connections in the buildings, which may include guys like Kuiper and McShay. But that compared to the amount of information that these teams actually have on all these guys, I think is very, very small. So I could see where if I was in a front office, I would almost enjoy reading mock drafts just to kind of chuckle at it at times, at them trying to guess at what I know.
Right.
You know, just them trying to guess at this vast amount of information that I have that they just don't have.
Right. And you wonder how much, and we've discussed this angle, how much is it their own evaluation of these prospects that leads them to rank them in a certain way, and how much is it from information gleaned from various NFL sources that they want their rankings to coincide with what's going to happen so they look better. Say, hey, we told you these guys were all top 50 prospects, and 43 of them went in the top 50. Look at how great we are. Who knows? You know, question of the day, by the way, since we are having the general on board in about an hour and 30, is if you could ask Dave Caldwell one question today, what would that question be? Look, put it this way. We're going to ask him about Josh Norman, okay? That will be brought up. And we've had a lot of people suggest that something along those lines. What are you doing or what are you not doing with Josh Norman and why? So if you want to save that one, you can save that one. You can send that as your one question. But trust us, we're aware that there's a player named Josh Norman who was previously under a franchise tag, who was a Pro Bowler, an All-Pro last year, who is now free to sign with whomever he chooses. So we're aware of the situation, and we will definitely bring that up with him today.
I'm sure we will, and I know we already got one on the text line, too, driven by Duval Ford, that said something along the lines of, how do you sleep at night? I don't think he announced it exactly. I think he was just asking, are you sleeping well? Because he thinks that if you're sleeping well leading up to the draft,
then you're content.
Content with what you're going to get. But I prefer to read that as, how do you sleep at night?
After what you've done to us. Because I got this one in from @BortlePower on Twitter. Why are you doing this to us? ? And that's it. Why are you doing this to us? And that's a direct
what
reference
gives you
to
the
what
right.
Exactly. Who do you think you are, Dave Caldwell? Dave's a good guy, and he will join us coming up in an hour and 25. We'll take a break right here. It is a Friday brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. If you'd like to get in, 641-1010 is both the phone number and the number for the text line, as Tony said, driven by Duval Ford. Tweet us your responses to the question of the day. What would you ask Dave Caldwell? You can tweet at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler, and you can also post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, which is open for business. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Joe Fortunato hanging around, and Tyler Devitt with you on a Friday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It was like the winds were blowing the palm trees, and the rain was one of those Miami rainstorms that just would not relent. We're in this truck sitting behind Don Mischer, and I remember Don said, put me on the phone with Prince. Don says, now, I want you to know it's raining. And Prince is like, yes, it's raining. And are you okay? And Prince is like, can you make it rain harder? And I was like, right on.
Tyler, who was that with the quote right there talking about the halftime show at the Super Bowl?
It was one of the production guys in the halftime show at Super Bowl XLI. So he's one of the production team.
XLI would be
41.
Right? Yeah. Yes. Took me a moment there. Thank you very much. Raspberry Beret. I've been with you, man. XLI, Tony. We just had 50. Getting old, brother. There's too many signs pointing to me that the grave is rapidly approaching. That's a happy thought for a Friday morning.
Yay.
I'll soon be 6 feet under, and you'll all rejoice. Okay. There you go. Prince, he killed it. There's no question about it at the Super Bowl halftime show. We went through that last off season. When was it? Was it last off season or was it during the year? I guess when it came out, when it got announced, about the Super Bowl halftime being Coldplay, we went through the list of all the halftime performances.
Yeah.
There were a lot of sketchy ones in the
yes,
early
there were.
Days, brother. A lot of sketchy ones. So it's not like there have been 50 that you really had to compare. There probably been about 20 exceptional acts or so, 20 to 25. Regardless, moving along, the question of the day, what would you ask Dave Caldwell if you could ask him any one thing today? No, we're not going to ask him specific contract details. Clarence says, ask Dave, can we offer Norman a four-year, $54 million deal with 27.5 guarantee? That's 13.5 a year. Here's what we'll ask him about Josh Norman. Are you interested in Josh Norman? Did you express interest? Did you reach out to his people? Are you still interested or... You know, have you moved on because either the interest wasn't reciprocated or the price is out of your range or whatever reason? You know, what was your initial level of interest? Is there still a level of interest? Is there still a chance? Are you still monitoring the situation as some reported yesterday? Jags are monitoring situation. Isn't everyone in the league monitoring the situation? I mean, technically.
I would assume so.
Right, to some degree or another, Tony? I don't know. Let's get to some sound from Blake Bortles to clear our mental palate here. Today on Jaguars Today. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Blake and a number of his cohorts met with the media on Wednesday afternoon, and we just were chock full of stuff yesterday. Didn't have a time to bring you all of his thoughts, so let's pick up where we left off yesterday, Tony. And Luke Joeckel has been obviously a serious topic of discussion. His role with the team, his future with the team in question. Fifth-year option. It has an early May deadline if the Jags are going to exercise that or not. Blake was asked how Luke Joeckel is handling now having new competition in the person of Kelvin Beachum at his position. And
yeah,
here's what he had to say.
Yeah, he's been awesome about it. You know, I think he's excited. I think, you know, they obviously brought Kelvin in, and those guys are going to push each other. And I don't think either one of them is going to back down at all. Both of them, you know, want to earn that spot and want to play there. And I think that it's definitely going to make both of them better. And you know, whoever ends up being the guy that's there is going to be the better one. So, you know, it's kind of better for the whole team.
I agree with that, right?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see when Beachum can get on the field and really start that competition full force coming off the ACL injury. So Joeckel obviously is going to have the opportunity, at least during the offseason, to continue to try to impress coaches with however much he's grown into that left tackle position before Beachum can even get on the field in a Jaguars uniform. But we'll see how long that actually takes Kelvin to get out there for the Jaguars, Blake. We've had Jeff Loggeman in on Tuesdays throughout the season, and he talks about the bucket throw being something that Blake throws really well, but there are certainly going to be routes that he thinks he needs to work on. He talked about that on Wednesday.
You could pull up film on probably every route we've run and find good throws and bad throws. You know, I think the ones that we got, you know, it was kind of what do I throw really well and let's run a lot more of those. What is Allen and Marquise and Rashad and all these guys, what do they run well? So let's get them five or six routes. So that's kind of our thought process right now is, you know, let's figure out what we do well and do it better.
Allen Hurns, among the Allens mentioned there, obviously, and Tony, deservedly so, has a high profile on this team when it comes to, you know, publicity and you know, promoting the upcoming season. I was looking at Jaguars.com yesterday for something, and they had on, I think it was on the splash page, they had Allen Robinson on one side, Allen Hurns on the other, right? And that's, you're talking about a guy who's played 2 years, who was an undrafted rookie free agent pickup, and has been exceptional in Allen Hurns for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And that's come at the expense of Marquise Lee, in part. Now Marquise Lee needs to be healthy and stay on the field. Blake was asked about, where things stand right now in his eyes with the albino tiger.
I mean, he's been banged up a little bit in the past, so it's been hard to kind of get on the same page and work, together for an extended period of time. So I'm excited that he's here and he's healthy, and we're going to be able to have a chance to do that because, you know, I think, you know, what he can do is really special, and he's super talented.
No doubt about it. He is a talented guy. He is one of those guys that, you know, we go out to practice anytime that it's open, and when Marquise Lee is available at practice, when he's able to be out there on the practice field, it's hard not to watch Marquise Lee just because of the type of athlete that he is, but he hasn't been able to stay on the field for this team at all to this point in his young career. You mentioned Allen Hurns being one of those guys who's broken out over the course of the last 2 years, obviously going through a little bit of rehab this offseason with the surgery that he had. Blake was asked about Hurns and what he's going through with this offseason.
Yeah, he's been everything you would expect Allen Hurns to be. You know, he's in here every day rehabbing, you know, and doing everything he can to make sure he's ready by the time we start. And with him, you know, I think it's just for him to continue to get better. He just, you know, he's such a detail-oriented guy and you know, kind of stays true to the process and is always on top of, you know, the little things. I think, you know, he'll continue to do that and continue to get better and get smarter. And I think he'll find ways now that he's mastered, you know, kind of the offense and his position and continue to help guys out. You know, he'll get after defenses and find ways to, you know, become crafty. I think he'll be a guy that becomes, you know, you talk about veteran receivers and guys that are able to kind of find holes and stuff. I think he'll be able to kind of reach that pretty soon.
He's getting better and better every time out. You love the competitive nature. You love the professionalism, Tony, that he's displayed from day one. Allen Hurns, huge part of the Jaguars' future, and wouldn't be a shock to see him get that contract extension this offseason. He is eligible for that as he went undrafted. Tony, what languages do you speak? English, I assume.
If I concentrated really hard, Pig Latin.
Pig Latin, is that right? are you fluent in Pig Latin, would you say?
No.
What language did you take in high school?
Spanish.
2 years of Spanish?
But I don't remember very much.
I took 2 years of German. I can count and ask you where the bathroom is. Okay, I can count to 10, maybe 20. I could probably, I might even be able to count to 100. I would not say I'm fluent. Blake Bortles, you know, learning an offense, a new offense, is like learning a new language, for him. And he was asked this week if he feels now that he is fluent in Greg Olsen's offense yet.
You know, guys like him and Prince that they brought in, you know, that are good competitive defensive backs. You know, I'm excited to be able to play against those guys every day and throw. And, you know, I mean, he's a guy that can get red line to red line and get across the field and cover anybody. So I think, I mean, he's only going to make everybody better. He's going to make the guys on the defensive side better with competition. And he's going to make us better with having to be, you know, a little tighter.
Strike that as unresponsive, Your Honor. Okay. And please direct the defendant to answer the question. Is that Donna Murphy back there, Murph?
It is. Sorry. That clip was not pulled up for me, so sorry.
Did you just hop in the middle of Blake Bortles' sound without acknowledging that you were here? All right. Well, now that we know, do you have that cut that we were referring to?
I'm going to effort that one.
All right. Effort that. That was Blake asking about Tayshaun Gibson. Now I really want to know if he's fluent in Greg Olsen's offense, Tony. So we will effort that. But in the meantime, let's step aside. We got more coming up from Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson, Tayshaun Gibson, as well as a little bit more from Blake Bortles, hopefully, a little bit later on in the program. Coming up next, though, we'll do it early. This date in football and the Honda Drive around the NFL, as at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Tony Pauline from DraftInsider.net. Get some final not only thoughts and evaluation. I think he's done most of the evaluation on the players, but what about some of the scuttlebutt going around about some of the top picks? What's he hearing about Miles Jack's knee and some other draft concerns some of the other highly touted prospects may have? We'll get into that in about 30 minutes. Dave Caldwell, Jaguars general manager, an hour and 10 minutes from now, and he's scheduled to join us at 11:40, about 20 minutes prior to the Jaguars media pre-draft luncheon coming up. It's all coming your way on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, time for this date in football history, April 22nd, Tony. Let's dial it back to the early days of the franchise. Hey. We told you we had the anniversary this week of the first trade in Jaguar history where they acquired Mark Brunell. And they needed some other players, though, and so they held a draft in 1995.
And did they really?
This was the date in which Tony Pacelli was selected and made the first draft pick in team history. Tony, pop quiz time for you right out of the gates early on Jaguars Today on this Friday. How many players can you name from the Jaguars' inaugural 1995 draft class?
Well, I know Pacelli.
Correctamundo, number 2 overall.
James Stewart.
Number 19 overall.
Was the other first-round pick that year. DeMarco.
Marco was her second round pick, 40th overall.
Schwartz
would be they got the extra pick, I think, at the end of the, remember they got some extra picks slipped in at the end of some rounds.
Yeah.
Schwartz was one of those, like, conditional picks, whatever you want to call him. So he was kind of bridge the gap between the second and third round.
I believe Rob Johnson was that first year.
It was
year.
A fourth round selection of the Jags, correct, Amundo? Getting deep now. If I gave you word association, Bill Cowher.
Chris Hudson?
Chris Hudson. Very nicely done, sir. We would be good on a game show. Chris Hudson went 71st overall to the Jags.
Beasley, I know, was the next year.
It wasn't 95.
Can
you get one more?
Was Doering in that first class or was he the second class?
He was not in that first class. I think he was in the second, I want to say. I'll give them to you here. Mike Thompson, defensive tackle out of Wisconsin, went in round 4 to your Jacksonville Jaguars. Let me see what else I've got here. No. Curtis Marsh, 7th round pick. Fred McCrary, fullback out of Mississippi State. Marcus Price, offensive tackle out of LSU. Ryan Christopherson, oh boy, he had some good years here. The running back out of Wyoming. They weren't all home runs. If you go to Wikipedia, by the way, listed under notable undrafted players, double nickels, Tommy Mack,
hey,
baby! Hi, Tom McManus and Mike Hollis, both listed as significant undrafted players from that year. Likewise, Marcus Pollard, who's the director of player development for your Jacksonville Jaguars. Birthdays for this date, April 22nd. Great one. 1961, your boy, Jeff Hostetler, led the Giants to a championship, Super Bowl 25. He was born on this date, one-time Pro Bowler. He was ready to retire that year, by the way. I was looking up to refresh my memory of the details. He was ready to retire, was so fed up, and then that week that he said, basically, at the end of the season, I'm hanging it up, that's when Phil Simms got hurt against Buffalo. He came in, went on to win the Super Bowl, and stuck around for several more years. In fact, made his only Pro Bowl in 1994. So would have been well out of the league for a number of years. Also born on this date in 1986, Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch. Celebrated with a Skittles-covered cake, no doubt. 5-time Pro Bowler Marshawn
Lynch. Apparently, he's like building homes in Haiti.
Good for him.
That's what he's down there doing now that he's retired.
Good for Marshawn, man. He can do whatever he likes, and he can do it.
He's about that action, boss.
He's about that action. He's about that charity as well. Good for you, Marshawn. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, many expect a deal to get done with Josh Norman and whoever his new team is by tomorrow. Norman is expected to sign a deal for something around $14 to $15 million a year. He is visiting with Washington today, who is reportedly working on a 5-year deal with the free agent, who is switching representation in the middle of the biggest money-making 3 days of his life. Washington and San Francisco consider the front runners right now for Josh Norman's services. The NFL is going to let some of their officials work CFL games during this offseason. According to Kevin Seifert at ESPN, the officials will be working in the CFL as either side or field judges, where the rule differences between the two leagues should be minimal. And Denver Broncos general manager John Elway said yesterday that Brian Hoyer could be an option for the Broncos at the quarterback position. Hoyer visited with the Broncos earlier this week. There's still a chance that Denver and San Francisco could get a deal done for Colin Kaepernick, but if it's going to happen at this point, it will probably happen while one team or the other is on the clock at next week's draft. And no news yet on any drug test failures at the combine. They've usually come out by now.
Right.
We all know. They're supposed to be private, by the way.
The rumors are percolating,
right.
By
We're never actually supposed to know who failed drug tests at the combine. That is private information, but it always gets leaked out. It just hasn't been leaked out to this point, at least, in this process. Do the teams know? I don't know. There are some reports that that information hasn't even been sent to the teams yet. I would find that hard to believe this far into this thing. But there is a rumor that started circulating yesterday that at least one player who is expected to go in the first round failed his test at the combine. Who that is? Who knows?
Right. And you may know who you think it is. We know who we may think it is, but
we've heard a couple names.
We've heard a couple of names, and it could be more than one person. It could be nobody. That's why we're not going to start spitting out a bunch of rumors out there until there's actually some solid reporting around it. And that's all it is in the rumor stage right now. So, and we don't even know, as you said, Tony, whether that information's been disseminated. I would think that
a week out from the draft, the combine was months ago.
You would think
the
they'd have it.
Would have that information.
But did all
now.
Of a sudden 32 teams get good at keeping secrets? You know, every year
know.
It gets out. Or maybe nobody tested positive. I mean, look, again, these are all rumors. We've heard all kinds of crazy things going on.
Everybody's getting antsy. Somebody had to have failed a drug test,
right? I told
you,
Tony, I don't want to draft anybody. Now, they all have issues. They all have issues. I can come up with a list of issues just about for anybody.
To get the gentle giant Buckner.
You know what? Maybe. I don't know. By the way, if they do draft DeForest Buckner, number five, don't expect to have him introduced to you that Friday morning on Jaguars Today after the draft. I did read that I guess his home is in Hawaii, and that's where he's going to be. He's not even going to the draft in Chicago this year. He's elected to watch it at home, and he's expected. Here's a guy who is expected to be a first-round pick. But you know what? For some people, glad handing with the commish and hanging out with some other, you know, these other guys, it's not that big a deal to them, right? I mean, DeForest Buckner, the guys he's going to hang out with in Chicago, I almost said New York, he's not going to be teammates with most of these guys going forward, you know, and maybe he's just more keep to himself kind of guy, you know, all about that business is what I'm saying, you know, all about that action.
I'm just about that action, boss.
That's right, boss. That's what you got to be. But you're right. No official combine leaks yet, but rampant rumors, particularly in the last 24 to 48 hours. But again, you can dig into the dark, seedy world of the internet if you choose to. That's really
Mike. Going back to last year, we'll remember Randy Gregory failed his combine test, and the first day of the draft was April 30th. The news broke of his combine failed test on March 26th.
So a full month.
Came out really early.
Right. So, and that's what Tony's saying. I guess you would suspect that would have come out by now or leaked by now. But look, teams may have had this info for a while, and these rumors that are starting to go around, Tony, may be the first signs of leaks. They may be the first signs of people making crap up too. You know, and that's why we're not going to try to besmirch anyone's reputation without knowing exactly what's going on with these players. We're certainly not in position to know.
No. I looked up the career numbers on Ryan Kristofferson because I had to know, you know. And how did Tom Coughlin stay in this city drafting bums like this?
Honestly? He's solid.
He played in 11 games his rookie year in Jacksonville, had 16 carries for 16 yards. He scored a touchdown. He caught one pass for 1 yard, and that would be the last time he touched a ball in an NFL game. The next year, he split time between Arizona and Jacksonville, played in 8 games that second year, so played in 19 games in his career, 16 carries, 16 yards, and a touch.
You know, if Rob Johnson had a typical backup quarterback trajectory, right, in other words, if we never had that one big game, they weren't able to capitalize on it, and he played out his rookie contract, Burnell was still around, they didn't re-sign him because he wanted to go be a starter somewhere else, you look at him and be like, I don't know if he's a bust. Would depend on what he did for another team. But you certainly, I think, would look back on that draft differently. When you draft the best player in team history and you take a guy in the fourth round that you end up trading for the guy who may be, in a lot of people's eyes, the second best player in team history, it doesn't really matter what you did with the rest of that draft.
No.
Right? It really doesn't. And we'd like to say, you know, oh, you got to hit on a higher percentage. Well, you know, James Stewart wasn't a bust. Brian DeMarco got hurt. You know, you had Schwartz. You had some other guys, and you found Hollis and McManus, guys that turned out to be key figures for you for a period of time later in undrafted free agency. Sure. So they certainly got, look, did they have some swings and misses? Unquestionable.
You can live with that in the fifth round. I mean, when you go back and look at the next year, it was Kevin Hardy in the first round, Tony Brackens, Michael Cheever there in the second round, and Aaron Beasley were the guys that they got there in the
Excellent.
First three rounds. That's a good draft. And that's, they did that early on. And who cares if you miss on a running back out of Wyoming in the fifth round? You hit on the running back in the first round. Like, you hit on the one that mattered, and who cares about Christoph?
And Tony, they picked up some key free agents early on, right?
Sure.
I mean, whether it was the Thunder and Lightning duo, Leon Searcy, I mean, really impact players in free agency, and that's how it all came together as quickly as it did. You know, pieces fell into place. The race to maturity was achieved, right? They got there a lot quicker than the current crop. Let's get a few more cuts in while we've got a few moments here, and we'll drop them in from time to time throughout the show this morning. Top of the hour coming up, Tony Pauline from DraftInsider.net. But we've been talking a little bit about Alan Hearns this morning, and so let's hear from him as he sat down. Once again, I mean, it's striking to me. 2 years in, and when you're kicking off the off-season program, there's a first chance for the media to talk in mass, to talk to some of the leaders of the football team. Of course you're going to put the quarterback out there. Of course you're going to put Allen Robinson, who just went to the Pro Bowl, out there. Alan Hearns, again, is one of the faces put forward. Great communicator, great player, great teammate, undrafted rookie, and has done a hell of a lot in 2 years. Here's what Alan Hearns, though, thinks he needs to get better at.
A lot of stopping routes. That's what I need to improve on this year as far as just getting in and out of my breaks faster. You know, and that's talking with the coaches. They said the same thing. So we know we got to get accomplished this offseason. And as far as from every receiver in the room, we know we got to improve on.
Alan Hearns also asked if the Jags have the best wide receiver group in the NFL.
Of course. You know, I'm always going to say that. You know, as far as us, you know, what we did last year, it doesn't mean nothing. You know, me and Adam Robinson, we talk about that all the time. We know we had good years last year, but we know that we got to come out here and improve from that. You know, guys going to be tuned in into our passing game, what we got to accomplish and things like that. So we're very excited to just take things to a new level. You know, as far as the yards we had last year, it didn't look too good in the win column. So the main thing for us is just be more effective and get more wins.
You know, Tony, we talked about this when it first came up, right? Was it Hearns who said he thought they were the best duo in the league, I think, or was it Robinson?
I don't remember.
It was the
remember.
Thing with NFL.com. I think it was, yeah. I want to say it was Hearns, but it might have been Robinson. Whatever. It came up. The issue came up.
It was Blake, actually, and then Hearns agreed with Blake.
That's right. You're right. It was Blake said it to NFL Network, and then Hearns was asked about it, and I think, but he was talking about the starting duo, right, of Robinson and Hearns at
Correct.
The time. And we said at the time, guys, that there, you don't have to be a homer to say they're squarely in the argument for, let's say, at least the top half dozen pair of wide receivers out there. We start naming names. There aren't too many pairs that you would take over them, but even if you gave some of those other teams the benefit of the doubt, and let's say the Jags were fifth or sixth best pair, and you start getting down, you start saying, hey, Rashad Green, a lot of potential there. Marquise Lee, don't laugh, a lot of potential there, right? Brian Walters as a fifth, solid guy, but I think the ability of the guys currently occupying the third and fourth spots, if they really take the kind of steps forward that the guys at the top of the depth chart have done in their first couple of years this year, Tony, they could vie for the best group, the best, you know, two deep group of wide receivers in the National Football League. I don't think that's a stretch.
No, I don't think so either, and we'll see how they develop. You got a pretty good idea of what you're going to get from Robinson and Hearns, and I think there's the really exciting thing about those guys is there's still room for both of them to grow into the National Football League. They're still just going into their third year in the league and have accomplished already what they've accomplished. And you got a young quarterback growing up with them at the same time. Hopefully Julius Thomas adds another dimension to what they're doing on offense this year that we didn't quite see show up on the field as much as you would like last year. The running game hopefully gets going a little bit more, and that helps everybody else out a little bit too. There's a lot of reason to be excited about what the Jacksonville Jaguars are doing on offense, and these two guys are kind of, along with Bortles, the face of what the Jaguars are offensively. And honestly, I think it's the reason why when you talk to national media guys, they're excited about this team is because there's a lot to be excited about on offense.
Offense draws eyeballs and attention and fantasy football and relevance in that, you know, scope as well. And more people are interested in the outcome of what your team is doing. And you're right. I think it does draw more positive attention than if you had the same kind of playmakers right now on the defensive side of the ball, but we're lacking a little bit on offense. Final thought from Alan Hearns. Talked about the advice he would give to other players this year who go the similar route and go undrafted.
I would tell them never let anyone write your story. People will limit you if you let them. My story, I went undrafted. You know, I had to prove myself from day one. You know, you just always got to believe in yourself. And that's just how it's going to be every year. No matter what you did last year, people are going to limit you. You know, if you'd ask people what I would have did after year one, they probably wouldn't have said I would have did what I did in year two. And that's the same thing coming to this year. They'll probably say that's my ceiling. But you can't let anyone show you what your ceiling is and just believe in yourself.
All right, Alan, we'll leave the pen in your hands. You're doing a fine job writing your own story right now. Time to break. Top of the hour is approaching. Tony Pauline from DraftInsider.net right around the corner in less than an hour from now, 11:40. Dave Caldwell scheduled to sit down with us in studio here in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. Fridays brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Hail damage, wind damage, any kind of damage to your roof, or if you suspect you might have some, call Bob Roberts at 287-7756, 287-7756, license number CCC056797. If you've got any issues with your roof or you want to make sure that you don't, re-roofs, repairs, Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, the call you need to make, 287-7756. Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, our Friday sponsor of Jaguars Today, here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Hey, Tony, you may have heard draft NFL version coming up.
Really?
Like 6 days away. It snuck up on us. Who knew? We haven't been talking about it much. We understand.
At least there's nothing in the news.
Nah.
You've been missing if you just were in a cave the last couple weeks.
It's all good. hey, we kid. Tony Pauline, draftinsider.net. You can see his work featured at walterfootball.com as well, and has been one of the best in the business as the draft pundits for a long, long time here with Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith on 1010XL. Good morning, Tony Pauline. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. Getting ready. Less than a week and counting, I guess.
Yeah, it's home stretch time, brother. And I don't know if that means that we're seeing a wave of misinformation crop up, Tony. All kinds of rumors and scuttlebutt going around about players maybe or may not be testing positive at the combine. We usually have one or two every year. There haven't been any confirmed rumors, although there have been a few rumors floating around. To the best of your knowledge, do the NFL teams know of anybody that made the ultimate screw-up by testing positive for drugs at the NFL scouting combine?
Yeah, NFL teams, you know, have been notified, and they're going to keep that information close to the vest. It's just, you know, will that seep out into the media next week? There have been some guys. You're not going to get it from me. But
I understand.
There have been some guys, and we will see if the names are revealed. You know, there was some word out there that it could impact the first round or the early part of the first round. I'm sure you'll know by Sunday or Monday.
Yeah, you're right. Early part of the first round, we're probably hearing the same names. It's speculation right now. Nobody's trying to get anybody in trouble by printing anything without confirmation or running with anything. So it's out there, though. We will know soon enough. Tony, I did read an item that you had posted in your latest NFL draft rumors at Walter Football that Mackenzie Alexander is getting a little bit of a bad rap throughout the process. Tell us what you know about this.
Well, first of all, it's nothing to do with on the field. I mean, the guy's a terrific player on the field, and he's also known as a hard worker, coachable guy. But what I said is that, you know, he's very difficult to deal with off the field, and you know, there were instances where there were shouting matches with the training staff. I guess sometimes when someone is a quiet individual, it can be taken the wrong way. And I'm just told that, you know, off the field, it can be a little bit difficult to deal with Mackenzie Alexander. Some of the coaches were not too, enamored with him. There was some question about that injury or the severity of the injury during the national title game. Was he legitimately injured? Did he just take himself out because he didn't want to be further injured? So there's a lot of, it's more than speculation. I mean, I know that teams have the information. It's just a matter of, you know, how teams digest the information and if they feel it's going to be a major factor or a major problem for Mackenzie Alexander. You can't argue with the guy's ball skills on the field. I'm not questioning his work ethic. It's just that a lot of people feel it. They've compared him a lot to Edgerrin James off the field, and he comes from the same area as Edgerrin James. You know, whether that's a positive or a negative, it depends on the team.
Well, sticking with Clemson here for a moment, Shaq Lawson, a lot of Jaguars fans feel like he may be kind of the dark horse candidate for that pick at number five here in Jacksonville. Do you think that he is worthy of being a top five pick? Is he the best edge rusher potentially in this draft?
No and no. I mean, it would be a major reach for him to be the fifth pick of the draft. I don't think he's the best edge rusher. He's very good. I still don't think I still think Joey Bosa is the best edge rusher, best defensive end. You know, there are, although, you know, there were some articles written that his shoulder is cleared. There are some teams that, you know, are not settled on Shaq Lawson's shoulder. He also had a leg injury. Shaq Lawson is a warrior. He's a terrific football player. He practices hard. It's just that his body is beat up. He doesn't have a great capacity to get much bigger, much stronger. He's going to be a very good football player if he can stay healthy. I just don't see him as a top 10 worthy prospect.
Tony, we here are very interested in the state of Miles Jack's surgically repaired knee. We're not suggesting you've examined it, but, you know, from the scuttlebutt you've heard, are there teams that legitimately maybe have him off the board? What is the level of concern that you are hearing about when it comes to Miles Jack right now?
Well, let's go back to the injury itself. What I was told during UCL Pro Day is the concern was is that this was not a torn meniscus. This was something that was detached from the knee itself, from the ligament itself. And with that being the case, it could be problematic in the future. Now, you know, the teams that took him off the board are the teams likely that don't have a chance to draft him or that I've heard of. It's all, you know, and we've talked about this in the past. I remember I was speaking with you about Jalen Smith on this before everything came out about Jalen Smith's injury. You know, it's not the same for each team. One team's medical doctors will look at the x-rays, will look at the MRI film and say, this is okay, this is not a problem. We just have to be careful with it through camp, make sure, you know, he goes through the rehabilitative process. He should be fine. Another team doctor will put the MRI up, you know, look at it on the screen and say, there's no way we're drafting this guy. We're going to fail him. So I don't know of any team. I mean, there are some teams that have concerns, but I doubt he gets out of the top eight.
Top eight. Okay, that was going to be my follow-up. Like, what range do you still feel? So you still think he's a top eight prospect, possibly even right here to Jacksonville? We'll find out.
Yeah, and yes, if he's taken by Jacksonville, I would not worry about, you know, worry about it from a medical point of view. I would not be, if I'm a Jacksonville Jaguar fan, saying we took a guy with a bum knee. You know, there may be some bumps in the road, but I think overall, you know, the meniscus is an issue, but it's not a major problem moving forward.
With quarterbacks now looking like they're going 1 and 2 in this draft with the moves that have been made up there to 1 and 2, are the Jaguars in a position now, do you feel like one of those defensive prospects is good enough that they should be considering trying to get the 3 so they can get the top defensive prospect in this draft?
No, because I think they're going to get a good prospect wherever they sit, and it's going to be a prospect that can help them, whether it's the aforementioned Miles Jack, whether they're considering Joey Bosa. I don't think Jalen Ramsey falls. But, I mean, even if Laramie Tunzel, the offensive tackle, falls to them, I think that would be an upgrade for him with Blake Bortles, to help Blake Bortles, protect Blake Bortles. So I don't think that they should move up because they're going to get a good player where they sit. They're better off letting the draft come to them.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I don't think they'll be making a move up right now. Tony, the team in the third spot, as Tony Smith alluded to, San Diego there. Laramie Tunsil makes sense. DeForest Buckner makes sense. Jalen Ramsey makes sense. Who makes the most sense to you, and who do you think the pick ultimately will be if they don't trade out?
I think Tunsil makes the most sense if, you know, he's medically cleared. There's been some concern that he had a foot injury during training. I've heard instances where his knees have to be checked out. I don't know that they're major, but I think Tunsil makes the most sense. If all the medical checks, you know, if everything's okay with them. I don't think they take Jalen Ramsey. If they do take Jalen Ramsey, you know that there may have been some concerns about Tunsil's knee or foot.
If the quarterbacks go 1-2, let's say Tunsil goes 3, Jalen Ramsey goes 4, the Jags don't feel good about Miles Jack's knee for whatever reason, just in this particular scenario, Bosa v. Buckner, who do you like more to Jacksonville?
In that system, I like Boza better. Boza has some off-the-field issues that have to be looked into. As I was told during the Senior Bowl, the more teams look into Joey Boza's character, the more he's going to fall down draft boards. And again, I go back to what I say with the medicals. And I'm not trying to dodge the question. It's different for every team. You know, if they're comfortable with what's been said about Joey Boza off the field, and there's been a lot said and a lot printed, you know, then they take Joey Boza. The other thing about Boza is, you know, some people think that his reputation on the field does not meet the reality. He's a very good player, but he's not a great player. And this is a guy who I think most of us were justifiably talking about as the top player in the draft after Jalen Smith went down. A lot of people don't see that. A lot of people think he's very good. He's going to need a while to grow into the position. But as far as the scheme fit is concerned, I think that Boza is a better scheme fit for the Jaguars than Buckner.
All right, let's say Tunsil goes to the Chargers. But before we get to the Jags, Dallas draft Twitter is convincing themselves that they're going to take Ezekiel Elliott with the fourth pick. Do you think there's a realistic chance of that? And if not, who do you think the selection is for the Cowboys if it's Tunsil who goes third?
Well, I mean, I've said all along that Jalen Ramsey has been number one on their boards. I still think that Jalen Ramsey will be the pick if he's available to them. Now, that said, I wrote a piece for PhiladelphiaEagles.com about a month ago. A team really like Ezekiel Elliott. But I think when you look at it, it's the Dallas Cowboys, you never know. It's basically Jerry Jones, what he wants to do. He's going to have the final say. But when you look at the draft board, I mean, Jalen Ramsey is much higher rated than Ezekiel Elliott. So if they take Ezekiel Elliott over Jalen Ramsey, it's going to be a major reach there. I still think they go with Ramsey.
Do you think there's a big difference between Tunsil and, say, Stanley, some of the other offensive tackles in this class? And could there potentially be a trade market if Tunsil does slip to five?
Huge difference. I mean, Laramie Tunsil is the premier left tackle prospect in this year's draft. There's questions as to can Ronnie Stanley play left tackle at the next level. There are questions if Ronnie Stanley's is the number two tackle in this draft. There are a lot of people who feel that Jack Conklin of Michigan State is the number two tackle in this draft. We know Laramie Tunsil is can play left tackle at the next level. People hope or think that Ronnie Stanley may play left tackle at the next level. People hope and think that maybe Jack Conklin can play left tackle at the next level. I mean, really, the next best pure left tackle in this draft after Laramie Tunsil, Jason Spriggs of Indiana. So I think there was a major drop-off after Tunsil as far as the overall tackle position, never mind the coveted left tackle position. If Tunsil starts to fall, a team may trade up for him. I've not heard of that. You know, the funny thing is we've already had two massive trades this year. Last year, the 2015 draft was the year we thought we were going to have a ton of trades in the first rounds, and we had hardly any. We've already had two, you know, in the 2016 draft before the opening round has even kicked off.
Well, three, really, because you had Philadelphia and Miami swapping picks, too, right? So we've had a bunch of movement. Yeah, no question about it. Tony Pauline, DraftInsider.net, here for a couple more minutes, Tony. A frequently mocked guy to the Jaguars in round two is Ryan Kelly, the center out of Alabama. I think that would be a nice fit. Is Kelly that much head and shoulders? I don't know if we've asked you this before, but is he head and shoulders above the center class, or is there value to be found if you want to wait maybe to round three or round four even?
Depends on the type of center that you like. I mean, Kelly is definitely the best center in this draft. He's got to get a little bit stronger, but he's a multi-scheme center. He's a smart, intelligent, tough guy who plays on the line of scrimmage. You can use him on the line. You can use him in motion. But if you wait into that third-round area, I don't think Nick Martin of Notre Dame is going to be there, but you probably can get Graham Glasgow, you know, the 6'6" center from Michigan who can also play guard. Different type of center, not a guy who's really great on the second level, not a guy that you're going to use too much in a zone blocking scheme, but if you want a powerful guy, you know, who's basically going to be your concrete, your block of granite in the middle of the line, you can get Graham Glasgow in round three. It's just a matter of the type of center that they want.
The talk in Jacksonville when it comes to linebackers has obviously been Miles Jack. They're at number five the whole time, but if they were able to move back, say, with Tampa Bay or the Giants, say 9 or 10. Darren Lee, the linebacker out of Ohio State, just how much of a drop off is there from Miles Jack to Darren Lee, and what kind of player is he?
Well, you're talking to a guy who is really high on Darren Lee, who I think Darren Lee is the most underrated linebacker in this year's draft. He doesn't have the great height, but neither does Miles Jack. I mean, Darren Lee was under 6'1 at the combine. But when I watched the Ohio State film, and I tweeted this out, and raise some eyebrows. I thought that Darren Lee was the most consistent defender on the Ohio State defense. He didn't have a lot of mental breakdowns. He's a guy who's a three-down defender. He's a forceful blitzer. He does well against the run. You can use him in coverage. He gets excellent depth on his drops. He shows coverage skills. So, you know, in my mind, there's not a huge drop-off. So that's a strategy that if the Jacksonville Jaguars decide that, you know, we don't want Bosa, or we're not going to take a lot, you know, whatever players on the board, we'd rather trade down, get some extra selections, and Darren Lee is there. I think that would be, you know, people may not like it on draft day, but 2 or 3 years down the road, people are going to say that's a good trade.
Now, Tony got excited with that one. You can hear it in his voice. All right, Tony, give us a guy that would surprise most people that you could see sneaking into the top 10. Who is the guy who would be the shocker that you think you could really see happening next Thursday night?
You know, I could see maybe Jack Conklin at number 10 going to the New York Giants, maybe Leonard Floyd. I think the surprise pick is going to be that 10th pick with the New York Giants if they can't trade down. You know, maybe they take Leonard Floyd. That will be the pick. I really think that, you know, in this year's draft, there's not going to be a lot of surprises. I think your top 8 to 9 guys are basically solidified, whoever they may be. I mean, there may be different changes, different orders in those top 8 to 9 guys, even the 10th guy. I really don't see a lot of surprises until you get to that 10th pick.
Okay, well, if there were to be one out of that 8 or 9 player group, this final question for you, if there's one guy who could have a really big slide, I mean, you know, out of the top 10, maybe out of the top 15, if you're going to guess which one would be the most likely, who would that be?
Oh, I'm going to say the guy who could go much later than people project right now is Paxton Lynch. People think that teams are going to trade up for him. That's not what I'm hearing. I mean, Paxton Lynch, he's got the physical skills. He may have to play in a simplified offense. He's a guy where, while he's got the arm to make the big throws down the field, you know, it may take a little bit of time for him to process things mentally, which would lead to a drop down boards. And then the other guy, you know, the other two guys I already mentioned, Shaq Lawson of Clemson and Mackenzie Alexander. If those guys do drop, you know, with Alexander, it's the off-the-field issues that I spoke about. And with Lawson, it's the shoulder issues that I mentioned.
All right. Well, there you go. We'll keep an eye on all this, Tony, as I'm sure you will as well, and continue to send people to draftinsider.net and walterfootball.com to keep up with the latest of what you've got out there, the scuttlebutt, and just follow Tony on Twitter, by the way, as well, at Tony Pauline, which is all you need to know. Is it Tony? Yeah, it's at Tony Pauline, just the name. I thought TFY used to be on there, but it may have been. Tony, we always appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for all the time. Maybe we'll catch up with you one time after the draft to see how you think the people that the Jags selected fit in with what they're trying to do. But thanks for all the insight over the last few months.
I appreciate it. Enjoy the draft, and good luck to the Jaguars.
Thank you, buddy. There he goes, Tony Pauline, draftinsider.net, and again on Twitter. Great follow if you're into the NFL draft, at Tony Pauline on Twitter. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It is a Friday brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Dave Caldwell coming up in a little over 20 minutes from now. Your general manager of your Jacksonville Jaguars will sit down with us on Jaguars Today right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, Tony, I've been offered great perks for my upcoming flight in my inbox, which I'm excited about. Flying out to Chicago on Wednesday. I was talking with Maurice Jones-Drew. He's heading out there this week as well. Did our draft special for SiriusXM, by the way, if you're into that kind of thing. Sirius 210 XM 87 this weekend. It'll replay Saturday and Sunday afternoons at some point in time. And got mock draft fever right now, Tony. They're all kind of worthless, but they're fun exercises. You pointed out, if you go to NFL.com and you look at all the front page of the mock draft page, you have Daniel Jeremiah, Charles Davis, Charlie Casserly, and Chad Ryder, and they all have a different player going to the Jacksonville
Jaguars.
Yes, they do. It's unbelievable. Jeremiah's got Bosa. He's got it going Goff, Wentz. Put it this way, they all have quarterbacks going 1-2. Charles Davis actually still has Wentz ahead of Goff, but they all have quarterback going 1-2. Then Jeremiah picks 3, 4, and 5. He has Tunsil to San Diego, Ramsey to Dallas, Bosa to the Jaguars. Okay. Charles Davis has Ramsey to San Diego, Ezekiel Elliott to Dallas, and Laramie Tunsil to the Jaguars, bypassing both Bosa and Miles Jack. Charlie Casserly has Tunsil to the Chargers, Bosa to the Cowboys, and Miles Jack to the Jaguars. And Ryder has Tunsil to the Chargers, Bosa to the Cowboys, but Jalen Ramsey being the selection over Miles Jack. Meanwhile, Curtis Conway has added his name to the list. He also has Jack. But here's the interesting thing. He's got the quarterbacks. He's got Ramsey going to the Chargers. Then he has the Cowboys taking Shaq Lawson over Joey Bosa.
Ooh.
Bosa going six to Baltimore. So it's not like he said Bosa's going to take a tumble out of the top 10 or 15 or whatever. He's just saying Shaq Lawson over Bosa, Miles Jack to the Jaguars, Bosa then to the Ravens, Tunsil falling to seven, so and then DeForest Buckner at eight. Those are your usual suspects, many of those at least, for the top seven, with Shaq Lawson being thrown in there. Sometimes you see him mocked to the Buccaneers. I've seen that quite frequently. Ryder did a seven-round mock. Tony, tell me if you'd like this haul for the Jaguars.
Okay.
Round one, Jalen Ramsey.
Okay.
Round two, Ryan Kelly out of Alabama, the center. Round three, defensive tackle. Here we go with the defensive tackles, but Austin Johnson out of Penn State. All right, you get into round three, okay, maybe. I'm starting to be more open to that. Still haven't drafted a true edge rusher, so we'll get Matt Judon out of Grand Valley State, who's a bit of a Jaguar draft favorite among the, you know, the folks on Twitter. Blake Martinez, inside linebacker from Stanford. Terrence Smith, outside linebacker from Florida State, so a couple of linebackers on board. Avery Young, a guard from Auburn, and Ryan Malik, who is a tight end from Virginia Tech. Wouldn't be shocked if they spent a late pick. Don't forget they have Koyak as well, who they drafted last year and was a practice squatter for them. What do you think? Cornerback, center, defensive tackle, defensive end, inside linebacker, outside linebacker, guard, tight end. Hits pretty much across the board all the sore spots, right?
Yeah, it's kind of odd for me because I've been, since the offseason began, thinking that, you know, the first three, maybe even four picks for this football team are going to be spent on defense. I don't know that I see them spending any on offense. I get the idea that they need to add interior offensive line help. So if they address that position at some point, it wouldn't surprise me. But you're still going into an offseason where everybody circled that they need to figure out how to get a pass rush. Gus Bradley just talked about third down. We got to get better on third down. We were really good on first and second down. We got to get better on third down for this team on defense if we're going to turn this thing around. And where are they really better on third down? I get that Malik Jackson helps. I get that he helps. I get that you're better in your secondary, so that helps. But where are you better rushing the passer? I get that it's just everything, it feels like, in that kind of scenario is being heaped again on Dante Fowler Jr. I'm not saying that being the number three overall pick, you shouldn't expect him to be able to carry that kind of weight for you. That's why you pick him there. But, man, that's an awful lot to ask of that guy.
I'm not saying that being better than Andre Branch or Chris Clemons individually is enough for this team, but do you expect that he will be better than either one of those guys were last year?
Yes.
I do, too. Right? By what degree? That's open for debate.
I think the defensive line in general could be significantly better than
if you get a whole season out of Sendarek Marks. Yeah. Say you get 14 healthy games out of Sendarek Marks, right? The presence of Malik Jackson, Fowler as an upgrade over the two guys we just mentioned, I do think they're better. Now, is it enough? Well, time will tell.
I don't know. And I think they're better on the back end, too. I think Amukamara and Tashaun Gibson, they're better back there than they were last year, especially at that free safety spot. Now, obviously, they haven't really done anything at linebacker yet, so we'll see if they do anything about that in the draft here next week. But I think for a team that everyone had circled that this is where they need to get better in this offseason, I don't know if they have specifically, and it's hard for me to imagine this team going into this draft and at some point in the first three picks not taking somebody that is just a guy that they feel like is an edge rusher.
Understood.
I don't know that I could see that happening.
I will say this, and you know, this is just one guy's opinion. I like the positions that he has them addressing, though, right? You get one D end, one D tackle, an inside linebacker, an outside linebacker, a center, a guard, a cornerback, and then your seventh rounder goes to tight end. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you could have maybe thrown another pick of defense there at the end if you wanted to, but if you told me that those were the positions that they were going to address, I'd be pretty happy. I think that's hitting needs in a big way right there. I like the idea of Ryan Kelly in the second round. Not everybody does. I understand that. But if you can get a guy who is the premier guy at his position, look, just because the offense took a big step doesn't mean it's completely set, right? I mean, did they struggle to run the ball last year? Absolutely. Did they struggle to protect their quarterback at times? Absolutely. So if you can get better, and I think they have improved it with competition, with Beecham coming in, provided he gets healthy, if you could add a surefire guy like Ryan Kelly to come in and take over a starting spot, the question is, do you want to turn over your offensive line to a rookie center? Well, if you draft Ryan Kelly, that's probably what you're doing, right? No matter who drafts him. You're not drafting
it's either a rookie center or Linder.
Right.
In all likelihood.
Ryan Kelly's going to be taken, you would think, in the top 40 picks based on everything you see. He may be way off the board by the time the Jaguars selected 38. The projections on him vary. But anyway, just another one of the interesting pile of mock drafts that we've got out there right now. All right. You know what? We're short on time, so let's break now. So we make sure we have enough time with the general manager coming up on the other side. Dave Caldwell going to sit down with us. We've got the pre-draft luncheon coming up at the top of the hour. So get ready for it. Your general manager, Dave Caldwell, will try to pry, I don't know what, out of him with 6 days to go. He's not going to tell us exactly. He's not going to hand us a copy of an MRI of Miles Jack's knee. But we'll ask, nevertheless. It's coming up next right here. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, scheduled to join us, and he should be here momentarily. Dave Caldwell is usually a prompt man, the general manager of your Jacksonville Jaguars. We're not going to try to negotiate a contract for Josh Norman, Tony, but we would like to find out if there was any interest on the part of the Jags, or any continuing interest for that matter, because until a deal's done, it's not done. He is visiting the Washington Redskins today, and the reports yesterday indicated something in the neighborhood of $14 to $16 million a year on average over a five-year contract. I would have suspected that even if the Jags put some cursory interest forward, that that might have been out of their comfort zone on a guy who's going to be 29 years old at some point during this football season, right? That would mean back end of the deal, you're talking about a guy who's 33, 34 years old. Now, I understand the way deals are structured, not everyone sees those final couple of years, and maybe you can structure it in a way that in reality it would be more likely a 2 or 3 year deal, but it would seem to me that the Jags would be more interested in a short-term deal with Josh Norman. Obviously, Norman has never had the big payday. This is his chance to set himself up for life. He's played 4 years in the league.
He was like 25 when he came in the league.
Right.
So he was older when he actually got started in the National Football League. He's been really good the last year and a half. Unbelievable last year, for the most part, and wants to get paid. I completely understand where Josh Norman's coming from in this whole thing and why he may have told Carolina that, look, $11 million a year just ain't going to get it done. I want to get paid, and I want to get paid now.
Right, and that's what they reportedly were offering him on an average. If he had signed the contract, the franchise tender, it would have been a little less than $14 million on a one-year deal for him. So we'll find out. And, Tony, you were talking about some of the numbers we saw in terms of how he fits in here, in terms of the percentage of times he played cover three, which the Jags will play a lot this year. I think it's something like 29% of the snaps
close
at Carolina,
yeah.
Right, which was the highest percentage of any particular defense. Every NFL team runs multiple defenses to some degree. You've got, you know, everybody mixes it up from time to time. And in Carolina, he ran cover three about 30% of the time. And, you know, you just look at the results of the guys he matched up against last year, and most of them had days less than their typical. And we're talking about guys like DeAndre Hopkins and Julio Jones. You know, Odell Beckham Jr., he got in his head that day. Odell Beckham didn't play particularly well. You know, I don't know if I consider that a shutdown of Odell Beckham. I think that was maybe a mental shutdown a little bit more than anything. But put it this way, he may not be Deion Sanders in his prime, because who is, really? A few guys are that true shutdown guy, but he would ascend quickly to the top of this depth chart if he were here in Jacksonville.
Yes, he would. And the idea of him playing twice a year now in the division with Odell Beckham is certainly out there, with him potentially going to Washington. So that could become something that we're seeing every couple months when we get to the NFL regular season if he does sign there.
Right. Still hoping to get 10 minutes or so here with Dave Caldwell. So we're in stall mode, if you haven't noticed right now, on Jaguars Today. Some of the questions, by the way, submitted, some were a little bit silly, but that's kind of what happens. But Let's see if we can dig
I like
up anything.
This one on the Duval Ford text line. It's a non-football question, but ask Dave, what type of beer do you prefer?
Okay.
I think it says a lot about a man, what type of beer they drink.
Does it? What if you don't drink beer? I guess forced to. All right, what's your go-to beer, Tyler?
My go-to beer, being a poor radio producer, I drink a lot of Miller High Life. I drink a lot of
bad. That says a lot about you.
A lot of bad, cheap beer.
That says a lot about you.
You're a bad, cheap person.
Says PBR.
You're underpaid. Tony, what's your go-to if you could order any beer? Tyler, if you could order any, if you're walking in, you want one beer and someone else is buying it for you, what beer are you ordering?
I'd probably get a Stella. I go with Stella a lot, yeah.
Stella! Tony?
Stella Artois.
I don't especially have one, but probably Coors Light.
Ice cold Foster's. In an icy glass. Like
it's Australian for beer.
It is Australian for beer. And this is what we've been reduced to now as we wait semi-patiently for the general to come join us here. How about this? Dave Colwell, what are your three favorite songs by Prince? What do you think? I tell you what, why don't we, in the meantime, hear a couple of thoughts from Alan Robinson as he met with the media earlier this week along with Alan Hearns and Blake Bortles. Tony, if you got it up, you can throw to the first cut because my mailbox has decided to crap out on me at the exact moment.
Yeah, A-Rob, who obviously the other half of that A-team with Alan Hearns, who we heard from a little bit earlier on in the program today, talking to the media on Wednesday when they were reporting for the off-season program. A-Rob talked about his experience at this year's Pro Bowl.
I think it was just really good to be around, I mean, the best football players in the world. I mean, being able to take a lot of knowledge from guys and other receivers, like, you know what I'm saying, just being around Julio Jones and A.J. Green and DeAndre Hopkins and, you know, guys like that, you know, that you just kind of see play, but you don't actually know them, you know. So being able to learn and to know those guys and their work ethics and different things that they, like, do to bring, you know, to bring your special talents to the table. And I think it was exciting, you know, to really get that insight on those guys.
All right, there you go. Alan Robinson, among the stalwarts for the Jags, meeting with the media, the Jags' first day back this week. We've got the general manager now sitting down with us, Dave Caldwell. He's checking his phone. Did you just get a text? Do you have a big deal in the works? Is someone trying to contact you to move up to number 5? What's going on?
They said they're canceling the draft.
It's over. Forget it. Too many trades.
They're all free agents now.
Speaking of free agents, we know there's a big one that became a free agent this week. Jaguar fans really want to know what your thoughts are. Did you have an interest in Josh Norman? Is there a continuing interest? What can you tell us, if anything?
Yeah, we did have an interest, and there's a continuing interest. It's working through its process. Anytime a player of this magnitude comes available and we have the means to do it, we're going to have an interest. So, you know, we do our due diligence. We do our homework. And not only a player of this magnitude, but any player. Every day after the waiver wire comes out and there's a player that's available for us, that's standard protocol. So people are asking me, did I make a phone call? Of course we made a phone call.
Well, we would expect to, but you never know, because I don't walk down and bother you every day and ask you every trivial thing that comes across my mind. But there was reporting all over the place. Jags are in it. Jags are monitoring. Jags have no interest. You know how it goes.
Well, I just think, you know, for us, the standard protocol for us, that's part of our protocol with all free agents and all available players is, you know, we talk to agents and kind of find out what their asking price is, where ours is. And, you know, if we're close, then maybe we engage heavily. You know, in this case, I don't think we're close.
Gotcha.
But you never know. You know, but we've said we'd have interest and we'll see what his market shows. And
they know if things don't work out in Washington or wherever that the Jags are still
correct
on the clock.
Yeah. Right. I mean, the guy's a good player. We know that. And, So if somebody can upgrade us, you know, we look for it. But yeah, that's the standard protocol for us. And, you know, anybody that's otherwise probably doesn't understand our business. And, but that's so you can count on that for any player that comes available.
Regarding the number 5 pick coming up next Thursday, do you feel comfortable with where you are right now? Is the work done, board set? Do you feel like you know kind of the handful of guys that you're looking at there?
I think so. I think we're about 98% there. I would say the first, you know, the first handful of rounds, we feel good about where we're at. As we get through tomorrow, we'll probably start working on, you know, the late round guys and the college free agents on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
I'm pretty sure you're happy about the trades that have gone down recently because it seems to have cemented a couple of quarterbacks.
Pretty good.
One and two,
yeah,
right?
Pretty good. Not too bad. So we'll see what happens at 3 and 4. And then You know, we've had calls too. I mean, so there are teams that may come up to five, or there may be teams that may jump us and go to four or three too. So
what is your comfort level in terms of, I mean, look, I guess any offer can induce you to move down further outside your comfort level, but what do you, it would take a lot, you've said in past years, to move out of the top 10 when
sure.
you've got a top 10 pick. Is that still your feeling right now?
Not necessarily. It all depends on what the package is. You know, if it's something that can be really attractive, we can find a player at 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
It's going to help you big time, right?
Yeah, so it'd have to be something that, you know, obviously including future picks and ones and stuff like that. Those are hard to turn down.
When we heard from you after the first round when you drafted Blake a couple of years ago, you talked about all the scouts coming together in the building, and it was like everybody was on kind of the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone kind of felt like Blake was that guy. Did you have that same kind of thing this year, or was it more of a mixture of opinions?
Well, the better of a team you become and the farther you get down in a draft, you're going to have some differing opinions on players because as you, and especially when it's not a quarterback. But I think we have a pretty good consensus on a handful of good players between personnel, coaching staff. Some of it we've had to really work through, and maybe at first we didn't have that consensus, but as we really sat down in meetings and hammered out some more video and you know, let everybody speak their piece, and then we say, okay, now let's really think about this and where will this player fit, and let's not just discount him because of this. And then, you know, so we had some really, really productive meetings with our coaching staff, our personnel department, and everybody did a good job, and I think we have a pretty good consensus there for the first-round pick.
Jaguar GM Dave Caldwell, we're going to make him on time for lunch. Trust us. He's going to get up there in about 10 or 12 minutes, and we'll be right behind him. Dave, I understand the position you're in. I'm not asking you to give away, you know, the company secrets here, but can you tell us anything about your thoughts on Miles Jack and his situation? It's been much discussed, and we're all talking about it blind because none of us, we don't examine his knee. We don't know what's really going on.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, not with just this case, but there's a lot of information out there. I wouldn't, you know, believe everything you read. I think people always say believe half of what you read, and you know, so
half of what you see and none of what you hear.
Right,
maybe,
right,
something like that.
But yeah, I don't want to discuss individual players. I don't think it's fair to the team or to the players.
Understood.
So, I think we'll just wait to see what draft day holds.
How many players do you have off your board for either medical or character reasons?
There's about somewhere between 40 and 45.
Wow.
And, you know, I think there's 32 medical and 11 or 12 medical, or 32 character and about 11 or 12 medical guys.
32K, is that, you know?
Now it's different. It's not like, you know, sometimes if they're just not tough enough.
I mean, I got you.
You know what I mean?
Right.
If it's just not a fit for us and we're like, hey, we want tough, competitive guys.
Sure.
It may not be your, hey, he was arrested for, you know, whatever it might
Understood.
Be.
Understood. Is that, but in terms of the total number of players that you exclude or eliminate, is that pretty standard? Do you think you're in that range?
This seems like a little bit more, but it's probably more inclusive because it it really includes a lot of our free agents, college free agents and late round guys too. You know, in years past, we may have just taken off the top five round guys, but we're really trying to clean up those late round guys too.
You talked about when you came here to Jacksonville, left tackle, quarterback, pass rusher, being the three things you want to address in the first round, and that's what you've done through the first 3 years. Do you feel like you're closer to a position now where you can draft just the best player that falls to you at five, or do you still feel like you need to address a position?
No, I think we're at a position and that we won't sacrifice talent for need. You know, and I think this isn't when you're picking the top five. It's just not a pick for next year. It's a pick for the future, and hopefully
right.
this person's going to be here for 10 or 12 years. And what may not be a great, great, great move for next year's team may be a tremendous move for the organization for 10 or 12 years.
Let's say no trade offers come your way that you like. No matter who goes at 3 and 4, are you going to be able to draft someone you absolutely love? Are there three guys you absolutely love at least in this draft?
Barring the first tour quarterback.
Assuming the first tour quarterback's correct.
I think we're in good shape. I think we're in good shape.
All right, he's happy about it. Who's the pick? He won't answer that one.
Tad Dickman.
he should be. We appreciate him slotting you in here for the last few minutes, and now you get to go answer a bunch of questions and try not to tell us anything of importance. And we respect the position, Joe. We appreciate it, man. Good luck next week.
Thanks. Good luck to you guys too.
Thank you, and thanks for spending a few minutes here with us and answering a few of the questions that are on Jaguar fans' minds. And look forward to big things coming up in the NFL draft. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Dave Caldwell, general manager of your Jacksonville Jaguars, and now the rest of the riffraff get to talk to him. We've done our job. We're going to go up there and find out what not only Dave but Gus Bradley as well has to say as the Jaguar Brain Trust convenes in the Terrace Suites for the annual pre-draft luncheon where we ask things. I'm sure there are questions we could have got into. Just follow Jaguar Twitter. And if it didn't get addressed by us, I'm sure it will be addressed coming up. And I understand, look, Tony, I'm not expecting him to say, here's Miles Jack's deal. We think he can play 6 years after that. It's iffy. But reading between the lines, as he said, hey, don't believe everything you read. He didn't have to say that. So I'm going to I'm gonna take that as an indirect acknowledgement that they're not so down on Miles Jack. That's my guess, but that's only my guess. Dave Caldwell, we haven't had any conversation the last 48 hours on this that's, you know, have we're holding back any secret kind of info on that. So hopefully there are three guys that he can love in this draft. But again, Tony, talent over need. Best talent available.
That's what he said.
For all you Laramie Tunsil deniers out there, we don't know that they think Laramie Tunsil is the top guy. He may not be in the top three position players on their board.
But
if
he
is and he's there, I don't think he should be shocked if they go that direction.
And follow that up with, maybe it's not the best move for the team next year, but we're looking long term.
And you know what? I know a lot of people say, hey, Gus has to win now. Dave has to win now. I respect the hell out of these guys because I do think that they've made decisions, not always the right decisions, but who is going to, but they've made decisions that they believe are in the best interest of the long term of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's hope they knock eight of them out of the park at minimum next week.
Sweet.
Maybe they'll trade back, get a few more picks, and they'll knock 10 of them out of the park. Whatever the case, enjoy your weekend, folks. The last one before the NFL draft. If you're sick of the draft, tough. That's what we're going to be talking about all next week right here. We'll have some great guests in. I'll be live joining Tony from Chicago later on in the week. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks to everybody who participated today on social media. Appreciate all the questions you sent along. The Jags, again, to repeat, have interest in Josh Norman. Have reached out, think that the numbers being thrown around right now are probably out of their price range, but Josh Norman's camp knows that the Jags still have interest. If things don't work out in Washington or San Francisco, which are rumored to be the two biggest front runners, the Jags still monitoring the situation. Yes, they've reached out, and that I think that was the thing, Tony. As long as they make an honest effort, you can have a value on a player that's different. Some people think you shouldn't. I think 48% in our poll, by the way, yesterday said at any cost is what they should get.
Well, the team that just had him obviously had a value on him.
Correct.
They obviously had a value on him, and it wasn't whatever Josh Norman won.
And if you
could ask, they could be wrong.
Are they a player away from the Super Bowl championship? Well, they were just a few plays away from a Super Bowl championship this year with Josh Norman being a big part of it, along with Luke Kuechly being the MVPs of that defense. But let me see if I can quickly here are the final results of the poll. We had 616 people vote yesterday, which is pretty good. The Tom Bush question today yesterday, should the Jags do whatever they can to sign Josh Norman? 49% said yes at any cost. 40% said yes if the money is right. So that's what Dave Caldwell's saying. We don't think right now the money is right. 4% said no, he will cost too much, that just forget at any price, we think it's going to be too much. And then 7% said no, he is overrated. So basically, 49% said do anything. The other 51% all varying degrees of interest, I think, on that. So there you have it. That does it for us. We're going to run upstairs and grab a little free lunch and listen in along with the rest of you as to what Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley have to say. I'm sure Joe C. Hacker and T. Wig will be talking about it throughout the afternoon. That's going to do it for us. For Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, thanks to Tony Pauline from DraftInsider.net, and thanks to the general manager of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Dave Caldwell, for joining us today. NFL Draft approaching. Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, brings you the show every Friday. Signing off for Jaguars today here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.